What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests joining us today.
Yes, indeed.
The brother Gary Chambers Jr. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me.
Running for U.S. Senate in Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to have you on, man, just because, Jesus Christ, what the hell is happening, man?
It's wild. It's wild. You know, I can't tell if it's 2022 or 1873.
Wow.
The logic of the Supreme Court today, I think, is comparative to the Supreme Court in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. How do we get Supreme Court justices? The U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
They vote and approve these people, and they send them there, and these folks have worked for 50 years to get to this point. And I think that a lot of us thought it was a game that our rights could be stripped away. But this is step one. And to every black or brown person in America, if white men will take the rights of their own women and daughters from them, what about you?
That's right. Let's talk about that big picture view, because today it is Roe versus Wade. But like you said, this is just the beginning. So what are your thoughts on just the Supreme Court overall and what it is they could potentially do?
I think I'm going to go to the solution first. Mm-hmm. The solution is we have to pack the court.
Yes.
There's a lot of folks who are talking about not doing so, but that is the answer. The Supreme Court was not always the numbers that it is. Look in the history book and read. The reality is gay rights, voting rights, policing in America. There was just a ruling on Miranda rights
by the
Supreme Court.
That went under the rug, too.
There's a ruling about gun rights. At the same time that they are stripping away women's rights, they're expanding gun rights while people are having a gun violence epidemic as well as mass shootings in this country. And so I think that we are headed backwards. Even the congresswoman making the statement the other night thanking President Trump for protecting white life, mm-hmm. right? And then saying that that wasn't what she was saying.
She was saying the right to life.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
She knew what she was saying.
And everybody cheered when they heard white life, too.
Correct.
They went crazy.
She clapped.
She clapped for herself.
The mind thought and said, what it was prepared to say inside, mm-hmm. it came out. It just slipped out. And so, you know, you could walk it back all you want to, but this is the reality we're dealing with.
So what do people
And when you
do?
Talk about packing the courts, who has the authority to do that? Because Joe Biden, they're saying, is reluctant and does not want to...
The Supreme Court, I mean, the Senate and the president together. Mm-hmm. If the Senate decides that they want to change legislation to expand the court, the president has to approve that. And if Joe Biden doesn't want to do that, then he shouldn't be the president.
So what can people do? Because we talk about, they said, you know, everybody heard what happened over the weekend. Everybody goes, vote, vote. But for the last couple of years, they say that we had record number of minorities come out and vote. So what can people do?
So let me quantify that. We vote for the president, mm-hmm. but when it comes to legislative seats, we sit on our tail. Mm-hmm. The senator that I'm running against, John Kennedy, and I sent these numbers to Charlamagne the other day, mm-hmm. he was elected in 2018. 26% of black voters in New Orleans showed up. 36% of black voters in Baton Rouge showed up. 26% of black voters in Shreveport showed up. He won with 536,000 votes, and there are 900,000 registered black voters in the state of Louisiana. If black folks alone had showed up, John Kennedy wouldn't be in the U.S. Senate. That's another number that we have that helps us to pass all of these things. You can't just have 50 votes when you got two U.S. senators who are voting against you consistently in Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, and you need to expand the margins. The solution is... Charles Booker in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. The solution is Mandela Barnes in Wisconsin. It's me in Louisiana. It is Big John in Pennsylvania, right? There are people who are running right now who share the same values, who have the same conviction, and they're not moderate Democrats. They believe that when you get power, you do something with the power that you're given.
That's what's going on in Louisiana with Roe versus Wade? Because I know now it's a state-by-state decision.
So we have one of the worst laws in the country as it relates to this. We only had three abortion clinics in the entire state.
They're
one in Baton Rouge, one in Baton Rouge, one in New Orleans, and one in Shreveport. All three of them instantly closed because we had a trigger law. Mm-hmm. Signed into law by a moderate Democrat. Okay?
Wow.
In Louisiana, we don't have a single woman currently in the state Senate that is pro-choice. Black or white.
That's crazy. Mm.
Okay? So when you process that, it is because the masses of us stay home and let a minority of us decide who represents the majority of us. And so that's the problem in Louisiana. So women in Louisiana have no reproductive rights at this point.
And who does that affect the most when it comes to women in Louisiana, just to break that down?
That affects black people, black women the most. It affects brown women. It affects poor people across the board. Louisiana is the 50th ranked state in the nation. So we have a huge poor population of black and white people. It will affect them the most, because if you have somebody who's in New Iberia, Louisiana, who gets pregnant and doesn't want to have that baby, that person now has to go to New Mexico or Illinois are the closest places that they can go. If I can't afford $350, $400 for a procedure in my state, how do I afford an $800 plane ticket, a $300 hotel room,
gas,
and the procedure?
Drive,
that I have to do all
that,
of that,
yeah,
right?
And you're not going to go by yourself. Somebody has to come with you, so that person has to get a flight also.
It becomes an impossible mm-hmm. situation for women in our state. And to men, okay, you should be concerned, okay? There's a lot of men who have unprotected sex in this country. They're going to go after contraceptives. They've already said this. Clarence mm-hmm. Thomas has already said that he believes that they should look at what we do as far as money on contraceptives.
And then not to mention people who don't have the money to travel, they may try to find another means of having an abortion that would be illegal and also unsafe.
I watched this documentary, The Janes, on HBO Max recently about abortion procedures in Chicago before Roe v. Wade. And there were terrible things that women went through. And I encourage everybody to go watch it, because there's a perspective that we just don't know, especially mm-hmm. as men. The emotional capacity of how women were treated, women having to do sexual favors in order to have a procedure. I'm a father of a 12-year-old daughter, all right? I want my daughter to grow up to have the ability to make whatever decisions in her life she chooses to make, that it would be the same if I had a son, right? America has not afforded that. And the reality is, black people have only had their rights since the 60s, and women have only had their rights in this country since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say that all of these sexist and racist things are ages ago, no. That Roe v. Wade passed 12 years before I was born.
That's right.
Right? That's not a massive amount of time. My father was born without all of his constitutional rights, right? That's not slavery. That impacts our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I am the first generation in my family born with all my rights, while America tells us, oh, this is the greatest country on mm-hmm. earth. Since when?
Exactly. That's why that's the problem with guys like President Biden, right? They believe in the institution of America so much, but he's a straight white male. It's always worked for him.
Since the founding, since the Constitution, you know, Frederick Douglass gave a speech about what is the 4th of July to the slave. What is the 4th of July to the Negro? We're going into Essence weekend, 4th of July weekend, mm-hmm. next weekend. What do we have to celebrate about America today?
Damn, that's real.
Gas that's right. prices high as hell, mm-hmm. bread, milk. Your energy bill, you're taking away people's rights, you're building an unjust government, and then telling us to be excited about it. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm not with it.
You know, you said something earlier about using power, and I asked you this weekend, but you know, we know elections have consequences, but I want to know what consequences worse. Republicans who get in office and abuse power, or Democrats we put in office who don't use that power to protect us from that abuse?
In my eyes, there's no difference between the two. If you're not helping advance the cause of people, the people that you represent, you're no different than the devil that we're fighting.
That's right.
That's why we have to be intentional about putting a demand on people up front and then making sure that there's the accountability measures. If you elect a president, but you don't elect a House and a Senate that's going to check that president, I don't care if they're in your party or out of your party, you're never going to accomplish anything. I don't believe in blind political loyalty. I just don't believe in it. You give somebody your vote, and then you hold them accountable after you give them that vote. And then if you don't do what you say you're going to do, we don't reelect you. Mm-hmm. The other problem is we have too many elected officials who have stayed too long. Their ideology and their view of the world is different than that of us, mm-hmm. and we have to inherit their decisions, right? Some of them are going to be gone in 10, 15 years, and we'll be here for the next 50 years dealing with decisions that they made today. And what I would hope they would do is consider retiring. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to call out any of our favorite black or white older politicians that have been there since the 80s or the 90s, but how long you going to stay? And the second question is, how long we going to vote for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at some point, we have to be accountable to ourselves that if I'm giving you numbers saying that in the Senate race, 26% of black voters in New Orleans showed up, we gave them the election. Mm-hmm. We gave it to them.
You know,
now, and let me say this. Mm-hmm. We gave it to them in part because the state party in Louisiana gave us a white Democrat that black voters did not want to vote for also. That's a part of the conversation.
He's a moderate white Democrat?
A moderate white Democrat that black folks had no relationship with. There's a moderate white Democrat that black folks have no relationship running against me, right? Mm. What will the party do? Because the country is on the line at this point. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to play these games.
And see, that's what bothers me, too. It's like, okay, if we know we have these moderate white Democrats or these blue dog Democrats, as they call them, why not call them out? Like, why not say, look, we don't want y'all supporting him. We want y'all supporting this person because this person is going to actually get into the Senate, get into the House, and, you know, vote to make change.
Well, folks like myself do that.
Okay.
Consistently, I've run against them to try to put them out of office. We have to have the resources. There are people challenging these people all over the country. Mm-hmm. We're not raising the money that the establishment Democrats are raising. We need to see the people who are making all this noise right now about caring about this issue, showing up for us and hosting fundraisers and galvanizing voters, because the candidates that are out here championing these causes cannot win without the resources. Charles Booker will not be victorious in Kentucky if he doesn't get every black influencer in the state of Kentucky to step up and have his back in a meaningful way. To at concerts, register voters, right? To at clubs, register voters, because brothers and sisters that's going to the club, when you leave the club, if you're not thinking about the consequences of your decisions that night, you no longer have the right to get the procedures or a Plan B pill in certain states.
Mm-hmm. Has it been difficult for you to get influential people in Louisiana to galvanize for you?
No, because we work really hard at mm-hmm. it. We are aggressive at going after the influencers in our state, and we're grateful for their support. But I know that we could have more, and we could have more people who... You don't have to understand it all to recognize that we're in a bad place. And what you have the capacity to do is raise money and influence people. And it's that simple. What we need the people who have influence to do is raise money and influence people so that those of us who understand the policies and that you have seen consistently go out there and do the work, go in there and do it, because a zebra does not change its stripes. If you have somebody who, as a candidate, was not out there fighting for your rights before, you never saw him at a protest, you never saw him advocating for certain things, why do you expect them to do that when they become an elected official?
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian Cocktail Maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host, Vico Ortiz, and our abuelita, Liliana Montenegro, play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you can also talk about expanding the gun laws. Break that down for people that don't know.
Well, so what the Supreme Court did was basically say that states don't have the capacity to restrict whether or not somebody can conceal carry, that people can have a right to bear arms wherever they are in this country, that you can restrict certain locations like churches and schools, mm-hmm. and that should be looked at. But Clarence Thomas even suggested we have to be careful when we look at what we're examining there. I posted a tweet the other day that I'm trying to find out where's the trade option for Thomas, because I'm tired of it.
Yeah,
you know, how do we get rid of this guy? And we get rid of him by making sure that the next time there's a vacancy on the Supreme Court, that there's a Democratic majority there that passes somebody forward that's going to be about justice, right? It's going to happen. They won't live forever. But do we have the mechanisms of power when it's time to make that change?
But even when we have the mechanisms of power, we don't use them. For example, you know, RBG should have stepped down.
She should have retired.
They should have forced her to step down.
There's a lot of people who love to talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I don't even like giving her the RBG title because, you know, that puts a lot of stank on her name that I don't think
like revolutionary black gangster.
You know, she stayed on the court for selfish reasons, in my opinion, and nobody wants to say that. Did she do some great things while she was on the court? Yeah, but a broke clock can be right twice a day.
Mm-hmm. That and when Mitch McConnell blocked, you know, Obama's pick in 2016 and saying it was too close to the election. Why didn't they push back? Why did they just allow themselves to get bullied?
They did push back when Obama was robbed of their right to appoint a justice. Now, the deal is Republicans show you what to do when they get power.
Yes.
That when they get power, they are not playing by the rules. This whole notion that we would not end the filibuster. If Republicans were there today and they wanted to do something, they are going to break the rule of the filibuster and they're going to pass it. Because at the end of the day, it's a stupid rule anyway. And the filibuster wasn't even always there. You know, these are things that we don't know in history, and they don't teach us that these are rules that were devised in order to make sure that they made the process more difficult for people like you and I to have rights.
Listen, we know why Joe Manchin is not going to vote to get rid of the filibuster, because he's just Democrat in name only. But why wouldn't, you know, Joe Biden want to do things like expand the court? Why isn't he calling for the filibuster to be ended?
I think, and this is in fairness to the president, he's an old white man who went to the Senate in his 30s, right, in the 70s, and spent his entire adulthood growing up among these people who he refers to. And that's his lived experience. We cannot rob him of his lived experience. What we have to decide is we don't want people with that lived experience.
All right.
You know, he has a right to believe what he believes. We have a right to not vote for him. If you will not change to the will of the people, it is our will by our vote. And if we don't want what we see, then he needs to be challenged in 2024. Mm-hmm. He needs to be primary.
When it comes to these January 6th hearings that we've been watching, what can potentially happen to Donald Trump? Do you think anything will happen at all? Do you think he'll run for president again?
I think Trump will possibly run for president again. And I don't think that they're going to do Trump anything.
Yeah, they already said it.
To some degree, America, white America, is going to say, how does it benefit us to arrest a former president of this country? That is just going to be their logic, that there is no gain for us in arresting him.
But now, for somebody who commits a crime, they should be arrested no matter what your job is.
Yeah, but we know the rules ain't fair in America.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Never have been.
What Jamie Raskin said yesterday. He said that charges for Trump or others are not a principal interest. He said, we want the American people to know the truth. So a coup can never happen in this country again. I'm like, well, how is it not going to happen again if you don't hold the people accountable who caused it?
And he shouldn't even be able to run for president again.
He's going to run for president again.
At minimum, it shouldn't even be allowed.
I think that we have to recognize that in the hierarchy of rich billionaires and rich white folks in America, that they play by different rules.
That's right.
And if we want those rules to change, our power is there. So we just have to utilize it.
What do you tell somebody who voted for Biden? They feel like Biden did absolutely positively nothing. Nothing that he agreed, nothing that he said he was going to do. Now, I don't think Biden's going to run again. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But then you have Donald Trump running again. So what do you tell those people now?
I would tell them that even on his worst day, he's better than the other garbage that we had. And that if you want better, that the generations before us had to put in work to elect better leaders to do. This is the work. This whole logic that things are just going to magically change is BS. They never have. We have to be committed to saying that we want to see change happen and doing the work. We have to elect people on the local level, the state level, and the federal level. And the legislative powers is where we really have the most of a deficit, I believe. And if we pay attention, we always pay attention to the executives, the mayor, the governor, the president. But the people who control the levels of power are your congresspeople, your senators, your city council people. And we stay out of those races. Ask the next person who comes on your show who is their city council member, school board member, state rep, state senator. Ask them, do they know him? I can tell you my school board member is Darius Landis. I can tell you that my house member is Edmund Jordan. I can tell you that my senator is Barra. I can tell you that my congressperson is Carter. I can tell you every elected official from the lowest local level all the way up to the highest. And if you don't know that, that is a part of the problem.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you up here, because, you know, I look and I see these establishment Democrats. They never seem to support the change agents, right? Whether it's Nina Turner, whether it's yourself. Like when I even ask about you, like, oh, they can't win. Well, why?
I can't win if you don't help me.
Exactly.
if I'm telling you that this man won with 536,000 votes, that there are 900,000 registered black voters in Louisiana, 1.2 million eligible black voters, and 30% of white voters in our state consistently vote for Democrats, and we have a Democrat elected as governor, how come somebody black can't do it?
That's right.
Because we don't have $10 million. Because the Democrat that's elected in my state statewide, the difference between him, there was a sister named Gwen Collins Green up that ran for Secretary of State in Louisiana. She got 41% of the vote. She had $9,000 in the bank. Mm. In the same year, John Bel Edwards won the governor's race. He had $10 million. Mm. That's the difference.
All right.
The money gives you the ability. These pens,
right,
these shirts, these mailers, these commercials, they're not free. And the consultants and the staff that you see, you have to pay for the gas. You have to pay for the everything that you see is
hotel,
a cost to
flight, anything. Yep.
You know, and so for those of us who want to see it happen, this resources are not for me to get rich. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, most of those who are running for office, really championing, they're not winning financially. They are fighting for something bigger than them to get to a point to help all of us. And what we have to recognize is if they're going to make that sacrifice, what's the sacrifice that we're going to make?
That's right. Did you get a lot of backlash for your promo that was in support of 2A rights? I thought it was right on the money.
We didn't. We didn't get a lot of negative feedback. We didn't get a lot of national exposure to it. And I think that we didn't get a lot of national exposure is because we cut straight to the issue.
That's right.
I am a when Buffalo happened, I didn't really know how to respond to that because I have a 76-year-old mother and a 12-year-old daughter. Right. Mm-hmm. That my daughter goes to the grocery store with my mother all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the grocery store with her mother all the time. And when I watched that video and I saw this white dude walk in the store, shoot these folks, see this white guy, the white guy screams. He said, well, I'm sorry, don't shoot him, and walk out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How do I feel safe with my mama going to the store?
Yeah, nigga written on his gun.
On the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we made a video shooting Klansmen to respond to that. And we were going to release it the day after Uvalde happened, but then Uvalde happened, and we said, well, we can't drop a video with me shooting a Klansman under those circumstances. And so then we retooled and we did a school shooter video. But I could not address gun rights in America without addressing what happened in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a gun owner. And I know that millions of people in this country are gun owners. In Louisiana, since 2000, 6 million guns have been sold in our state. Okay? You're not going to get guns away from people. This logic that we should just get rid of guns. There are too many guns in America. There are more guns than people. You're not going to get away with guns. Get rid of guns. What you can do is have sensible legislation and a process to own a gun that makes it secure and understands who owns this weapon. And at least we say we try to make sure that responsible people have guns. And so if there's a choice between my mother going home, my daughter going home, and me going home, me and my family going home. And I think that any American has the right to protect and defend their family. But do I believe that people need the ability to kill dozens of people in seconds? No.
So I was going to ask you, so what is your thoughts on semi-automatic weapons and rifles and long guns?
It doesn't matter what my thoughts are on it, because there are too many of them out here for us to get rid of them. And I think that we need to be realistic with ourselves about that. I think that we need to have a process to owning any type of weapon in this country. I think that that is realistic legislation. I think that we can talk idealistic policy, and we can talk about what we can actually get done. And what we can actually get done is a process of making sure, and even this logic that an 18-year-old should be able to get these guns. No, they shouldn't. You can join the military if you're 18. Yeah, but you get training when you join the military, mm-hmm. right? And so if you're going to use a weapon in the confines of a job that you're trained to use it in, cool. But other than that, I don't think an 18-year-old should have a gun.
I agree.
These are sensible things.
What do you think about the gun safety bill that Biden just signed into law? What do you think about that one?
Like that napkin right there, just a little piece of paper. You know, it's not meaningful. It's to say that they did something.
Yeah.
I think the red flag incentives are actually have the potential to be beneficial. But if you ask any of the organizations that are really doing gun rights policy work, they would tell you that they would prefer much, much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't agree with nothing that says bipartisan nowadays.
If Bill Cassidy is on the thing, who's the other senator from Louisiana, ain't nothing in it coming out there good for black folk. Okay? Ain't nothing good in it coming out there that's sensible in this country, because he does not care.
Yeah.
You know? And so telling me that he's a part of it, he's only going to be a part of it if he thinks that it's beneficial for the community that he represents.
I think it's safe to say that the Republican Party is just the party of white supremacists.
It's
now.
The Klan.
That's it.
It's the Klan. So it's like Walker running in Georgia is just a black face Klan member.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you are a part of the Republican Party listening to the things that they are saying right now, and here's the other thing. The top 10 states in America, 7 out of 10 of them are ran by either Democratic governors or Democratic legislatures. The top lowest states in America are either 7 out of the 10 of them are Republican legislators or Republican governors. So you don't even have to ask my opinion. Republican policies are failing. Look at the Deep South.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Louisiana and Mississippi is almost completely ran by Republicans in our state legislature, as well as the governorship. In Mississippi, we have a Democrat governor, but we have a super majority in the legislature in Republicans. And we rank 50 and 49. So if Republican policies are successful, why aren't they working in Louisiana and Mississippi?
Mm.
Why are we failing? Why are the number 1 through 3 states in this country run by Democrats? Why are the bottom 3 states run by Republicans?
Mm-hmm. And now, how can people support you if they don't know? How can they support you if they don't live in Louisiana and they just want to support you, whether it's financially, whatever they can do? How can they support you?
They can go to chambersforlouisiana.com to make a contribution. We need contributions. The end of the quarter is coming up. We want to be as strong as possible as we come to this end of the quarter. We need folks to phone bank for us toward the end of this summer. We're going to start phone banking heavily. You can call from anywhere in this country. You can make calls for us. So you can sign up at chambersforlouisiana.com to volunteer. There's a take action tab. You can click for that. There's a donate tab. You can click for the contributions. And then leaning on the Democratic Party to step up for us. The National Party and the State Party in Louisiana, we're the only person with the shot at sending John Kennedy home in this race. We have proven that we can build a national conversation from the worst ranked state in this country, and we need them to get off their ass and do something.
What do you say to people who say Gary Chambers does not have a chance at victory?
I'd say they're lying, and how do you know?
Mm.
In my last race, I missed it by 1,500 votes, okay? Wow. If you add up all the other people who ran in the race that I said for 6 months, for the 90 days we were in the special election, I said none of them could win. The amount of votes of those people was the amount of votes I needed to make it to the runoff.
Wow.
And you did mention the Essence Festival is coming up this weekend. So are you doing anything?
We have an event Saturday at the Jazz Market. We're going to drop out a flyer today. Tisha Campbell's actually going to be hosting a day party with us at Essence Festival this Saturday, so that's going to be a great thing. We want to just connect with people, make sure folks are registered to vote, and then just enjoy the culture of our state and our city. And we want you to come to Louisiana. We want more of you to move to the South.
Saturday where?
Saturday at the Jazz Market in New Orleans.
Jazz Market. All right, yes, I'm going to pull up. I'll be there Saturday.
I love it, man, because, you know, like I said, I don't understand how when you see people like the Joe Manchins, the cinemas, why Democrats aren't speaking out against them, and I don't understand why they're not supporting people like yourself, actual change agent.
I think we have the capacity in the culture to send them all home. We just have to organize to make it happen. We are the most powerful weapon in this country. We show it consistently. Every business in this country is trying to figure out how do they capitalize off of us. We need to figure out how we mobilize that to make the change we want to see happen for all of us. And when black people are good in this country, everybody's going to be good.
That's right.
Well, there you have it. Gary Chambers Jr., we appreciate you for joining us, and we'll see you this weekend out in New Orleans.
Thank y'all.
All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts,
the medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.